Hi there, listener. You're about to experience Tadpog. Tyler and Dave play old games, and there will be plenty of game talk, but also copious amounts of crude, off-color, offensive, and immature speech. So if you are of a rather sensitive humor constitution, we're just letting you know what you're in for with this show. It has games. It has jokes. You know, just games and jokes. Take the games, take the jokes, and have a good time.
Hello, Internet, and welcome to another Tadpog podcast. It's a show that happens twice a week where two old guys and one very understanding married couple talk about old games. Normally, this is Original Flavor Wednesday, where we'd be talking about a various game off IGN's Top 100 Super Nintendo games. But we're done with that. We finished that. We finished that last week. So this week, we're going to basically talk about the list. Talk about our experiences with the list, maybe our top 10. Just kind of do a two year in review about IGN's Top 100 Super Nintendo games.
And as long as it's better than Tyler and Dave fail at math.
It already is, I feel like. We've already made a better episode.
Let's stop now before it gets shitty. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Well, I'm your bittered host, Tyler, and I've had three shots so far.
What are you drinking?
I had a shot of...
Oh, these vaccinations.
No.
Since other people are skipping out on vaccinations, I'm taking them all.
We don't vaccinate our co-host, guys. We don't want to give you autism.
I've had a shot of Jim Beam bourbon.
Yeah.
I've had a shot of Jim Beam's Jacob's Ghost. Of wolf fighting fame. Just eating Jacob's ghosts.
He lost that fight. Yeah.
I told him. I tried to tell him.
And Jim Beam Fire Eater. All of these courtesy of Ashley Shake of Fist Puncher fame, who spent about $200 on various whiskey and bourbon before he went back to Japan. So I've got a lot of it to go through. But since I've had three shots, I'll tell a story that is something that might upset my family.
Those are always good.
It reaches back to classic Tadpog, where I'm talking about like fingering girls and things like that. So
those stories never end with us making an edit after the show is published.
But I've been holding on to this story for a while. There was this girl that I used to be, well, I still am friends with. I was friends with her and we dated like a little bit, but we never were like in a relationship or anything. But she was, her call to fame was giving amazing blowjobs. That's what she was, people knew her around high school as giving just really good blowjobs. Not in like a derogatory way, like people didn't think she was a slut, just like the people she was with, she gave good blowjobs.
It was that good. Like people didn't, she wasn't shame her.
It was so good they didn't slut shame her.
Yeah, it wasn't shame, it was respect.
And a few of my friends told me firsthand about what, you know, how good a blowjob she gave.
How did they describe
more, it? More than one of these might be coke. I think guess I was at one point in time. But they just...
Nicole.
They just said it was really good. So, but her and I, like, we went on a few dates. Like, we just kissed. Like, we were just good friends. Like, nothing. Yeah. I wouldn't say I was in the friend zone exactly.
When you kissed her, did her mouth just taste like dicks?
That's all I ever taste anymore. nothing just really happened. It just kind of fizzled out. But at one point, she came up and she was visiting when Jacob and I lived together, our first apartment at Murray State University. But she came up and she was hanging out with us. She'd come over like every few days and hang out. Jacob was friends with her. We had a good time. And one day when she came up, she was being extremely flirtatious with like everybody. And I was like, all right, she's clearly like, today, she is down. So later on that night, I decided she seems okay with it. I made a move, and she was into it. So we went back to my bedroom, shut the door, making out.
Playing Pump It Up.
She did play Pump It Up with us, and it was super hot because she would dance to all the salsa ones, and she'd run her hands through her hair and things like that. It was actually really hot. It's funny you say Pump It Up. But we're
a quick break to go masturbate, and then we'll be right back.
We're back. We're in my bedroom, and she's on top of me, kissing me, and then she starts to kiss down. I'm like, oh, all right, yeah. But very recently, I seen an episode of Friends where Joey was participating in a study where he couldn't come for like 2 months. So he'd get $10,000 in 2 months for not coming.
Uh-huh.
And I watched this episode, and he was dating a new girl at that time, and she really wanted to have sex, but he couldn't.
Yeah.
So instead, he focused everything on her. Mm. The implication being like he only went down on her for like 2 months, and she was like super appreciative and happy. And there was one point where like he did it, and she was like, "All right, now I want to have sex with you. Now it's your turn." And he's like, "No, how about you again?" And then, like, the next day, he wakes up, and his apartment's filled with, like, flowers and thank you notes.
Yeah, I've seen that episode.
Shit like
that.
Yeah. So then, like, she's about to do this to me, and I'm like, I know that every single guy has just, like, taken theirs and went off. I'm going to be different.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, no, you first. So then I grab her, we flip over on reverse sides, and then so I go first. Everything is fine for about 30 seconds.
Okay.
After about 30.
Like, what do you mean by like fine? Like everything's just normal?
Standard issue.
Okay.
Standard issue. Right. Military grade standard issue.
Like you do a quick inspection. Everything's where it should be.
Everything's fine. I get started. Yeah. Everything's good.
Great.
30 seconds in, I'm down there. And then I kind of hear something and I look up and she just starts hysterically crying. Like, not just, like, whimpering crying, like, full-on ugly crying.
Whimpering and probably wouldn't be, like, much better.
I could see, like, becoming, like, emotional or something like that. No.
Man, you must get some really like, good fucking head.
Or some really bad. Really, really bad. I think it's called face when it's on that side.
Oh, yeah? Is it called face?
Face. Mm.
Nicole, can you confirm? You're our lady guest host.
Can I confirm what it's called?
Yeah, is it face?
Yeah, I don't know.
I remember that being a chant like before girls would take shots in college. Like, here's the leather, here's the lace, here's the guys who give good face. And then take a shot.
I've never heard that.
Never heard that either. I've always called it going down, but you know, it's always how I've referred to it. So
I've always called it the Sopranos Cunnilingus. Shame.
Cunnilingus.
There's a whole episode of Sopranos about being how that was super shameful for men to do that.
Hmm.
But like, so I just like stop and just look up while she's just bawling. So like, I'm still down there like, what's wrong? And
did you eat a lot of spicy food? Like, I know you like spicy food. Like,
well, see, she just about a month before her and her boyfriend are broken up. So I ask her what's wrong. And like through the tears, she's like, you do it just like my boyfriend. And it makes me really sad.
About this time, you're thinking, God damn it, I should have just gotten the fucking blowjob.
Yep, because it was over after that.
Of course it was.
It was done.
Of course it was.
So, like, I get up and I hold her for a while and she cries about him and talks about him and then she goes home.
Moral of the story, guys. Moral of the story.
Get yours first. Reciprocate, but get yours first. Then give face. is this lovely lady listener?
I highly doubt it.
Okay, so we're not gonna have to worry about her getting mad.
Nope,
okay, great.
Nope.
What's up, internet? I'm Dave. I'm your bespectacled host. And man, I got so many face-given stories to tell. Just so many, but I can't tell any of them. I've sworn to secrecy. But Josh, what I really want to hear is your story. Because you, a couple episodes ago, said that you had a story, and you changed it because we started talking about something different.
No, we did I was going to tell a story, and then we did the quiz, I think.
So, yeah.
Okay.
So I want to hear your story, because I feel like that was a really good one. And you had mentioned that there were certain overtones to the story that might be, it's hot button.
Okay, so my mom is a wonderful person.
That's so sweet.
Yeah.
She's a wonderful person.
Bless her heart. Yeah. Okay. So, those of you Tadpog listeners that are Facebook friends with me may have actually seen this. There was like, this happened a few weeks ago, I think 3 or 4 weeks ago. And there was like a 2 hour window where this picture was posted and tagged with me on it. On Facebook. So
I'm sad I missed that.
I am too. Can we have this for the show notes?
So I got a Facebook notification on my phone, and I just kind of glanced over it, and I'm like, oh, mom's tagged me in a picture she found, you know.
Where were you at the time?
I was at home.
Thank God.
I was doing something else, but I was at home, and I didn't think anything of it. And then
jerk it off. Oh, mom tagged me in a picture. I'm going to finish first. Yeah.
That's code for masturbating. I was doing something else.
Hey, what else do you do at home? I don't even know what to do.
I was just giving face, had my phone right there. Just looked away.
Nicole's like, who is it, mom?
What does she want? I'm not having this conversation.
So after 2 hours of giving face, I finally checked my Facebook.
You withdraw with your face looking like your fingers after the bathtub.
Fucking cocoon.
All pruny. So my mom had posted several, I think 6 or 7 pictures of me that she was going through all this old stuff and found some old pictures, and she scanned them in and tagged them with me. A lot of them were you and me, Tyler. Mm-hmm. Ashley Shake of Fist Puncher fame was in there too. Those
are
all
good pictures.
Yeah. All those were still those.
Except for that one at my wedding where I'm super fat.
but they were from like high school and things mm-hmm. like that. And she found an older one from when I was probably like 8 or 9. And this was at Halloween. And it was me, my brother, and one of my brother's friends. My brother was a hobo, which I know mm-hmm. you like to dress up mm-hmm. as.
My mom loved yeah. dressing up as a hobo
classic.
Baby.
Well,
I was a hobo baby like 4 years in a row.
Okay. A hobo baby?
Yeah.
I feel that this, I feel that this is important too.
Why? Why would you dress your baby up like a hobo?
A baby just riding the rails, you know, just getting around with this can of beans. Like babies do.
Did she give you like the beard too?
Yeah, I had like a beard, like face paint, like a hat with a hole in it.
Are there photos of this?
Somewhere.
Oh my God, we gotta get these. Are you gonna do Kenna as a hobo for Halloween? Tradition.
So my brother's friend was a vampire, Dracula probably, and I was Steve Urkel.
Yeah,
I am white for all the Facebook listeners, but I was not... In my costume. I was not white in my costume.
What do you mean you weren't white?
I was not white.
But how do you mean you are white?
Just say it.
Were you in blackface?
I was in blackface. So...
Why?
I guess my mom wanted authenticity.
So you didn't specifically ask. Like, she was like,
I don't remember this. I'm sure I did. I could not have done that costume on my own. I had to have had help. So I was Steve Urkel.
Yeah.
And complete blackface, everything.
He said blackface, which is a different costume entirely. I'm gonna go in blackface this year.
Blackface is a little more socially acceptable. So
only a little bit.
So I just panic. I forgot we were like watching TV or something, and I just like scramble for the controller to pause it. And I'm calling mom at the same time. She finally answers, and she's like, I'm like, you've got to take that picture down. She's like, which one? The one of me in blackface, mom. Take it down right now. She's like, oh, why? It's such a cute little picture of you. Mom, it is racist and offensive. Take it down right now before anybody sees it. And, like, people had commented and
what were the comments?
They were all like, my mom's...
Damn, I didn't know Josh was so fucking racist. Did I do that?
What a cute little apostrophe racist.
No, they were all like my mom's friends who saw no wrong in it. I hurt my wife.
No, it's that liquor.
Nicole has also been taking shots.
Yeah, you guys are even at 3 now, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. The last one didn't go so well for me.
We should do a drinking game where every time someone references cum or a dick or an asshole or anything, you guys take a shot.
Oh, God.
So, someone mentions Josh in blackface, you take a shot.
So after Dave, after you heard that I was in blackface, you were really interested in telling a story. But you wanted me to tell mine, sir.
Yeah, no.
So I'm really interested to hear your story.
No, it's nowhere near as good as that. And actually, you're not done yet because I got a lot of questions. Did you decide that you were going to be Steve Urkel?
I probably did. Yeah, I'm sure I was really into Family Matters.
Okay.
I don't know.
Well, who else going to be? Carl?
Stefan? I don't think Stefan.
Oh, you're not a Stefan. No, you couldn't have pulled that off.
I don't think a Stefan was even a thing back then. So
I want to be Malcolm Jamal Warner, Mom. What?
You Eddie, know the voices. So. Did no one say anything to you?
Like, nope. I'm
like never once did like when a door swing open and be like, oh, did everyone was cool with it?
I grew up in Marshall County,
right?
So,
of course,
yeah. Everybody was fine with it. Everybody thought it was hilarious. So.
I could testify to this.
And we can't have this photograph for the show notes, right?
No.
Oh, really?
Absolutely not.
Really? What if I go into Photoshop and then rewhite you? you'll look like Snoop Dogg.
We just put a KKK mask over Photoshop it over his face.
You look like Snoop Dogg whenever he wears white face. It'll be fine. I loved Halloween when I was a kid. I never, ever, ever wore blackface, but I did hobo before. Mm-hmm. That was probably the last Halloween that I trick-or-treated because that was the Halloween where I started getting shit from adults where they were like, oh, hobo, huh? How old are you?
Just a method, sir.
Just a man who's down on his luck.
Just bumping rails.
But one time I went as an executioner, and it was one of the times that I actually bought a costume from a store and those little plastic pouches that have the black flimsy plastic handle that you take out and put on. And what it looked like, it's this executioner's hood and black cloak. But what it looked like was the black version of a KKK uniform. I don't know what they call it. But like, because the hood like just went straight up into a point. And I remember going door to door trick or treating. And the reason I asked you if anyone said anything is because every door I went to, people were like, what are you? Like they were really confused.
Okay, you also grew up somewhere besides Marshall County.
Well, this was a trick-or-treating excursion in Pennsylvania.
Did so, you have like a no, weapon I had, of
I had
time?
No, I had no props.
So you had to have the axe.
No.
I love execution.
I had no props. It was just me in a black KKK outfit with a little orange pumpkin bucket from McDonald's.
That's very good. Yeah.
I like to think that they made it black as an afterthought.
I like to think that they were like, you know,
how are
what?
We going
to
use all these KKK? Right, right. Dye them black, sell them as executioner costumes.
Done. Nicole, what's up?
Hey.
Coffee? You feel all right?
Yeah, no. The wheezing and coughing is from the bad shot that I had. So
that one's still messing with you?
Yeah.
Got a little in your lungs.
That's not good, yeah.
Okay. Get a story about Halloween costumes or oral sex? Because that's where we're going.
Or do you have a story about a podcast you're about to start?
I have a story about being hit on. The most flattering time I've ever been hit on.
That's sweet, Josh.
Yeah. Yeah. We got to go.
A couple years ago. Was it 2 years ago?
I was giving her face and I was like, everything checks out. It's all standard.
That's very flattering.
You're good to go, man.
or you're doing that, the hotel person comes into the room. You're very pretty. Thank you. Just getting some face. Leave some towels, please.
And the cleaning lady's like, I know the rhyme.
Anyway, 2 years ago, I guess, whenever we were at Dragon Con, Josh and I were coming back from the burlesque show, and it was like 3 o'clock in the morning, and we stopped at one of the hotels, and Josh went into the bathroom, and I was standing outside waiting, and this girl came up to me dressed as...
Naruto.
And it was like, she was really smooth about it. She like looked at me and she's like, hi, are you waiting for someone? And I was like, yeah, I'm waiting for my husband. And she kind of looked down. She looked up at me and she goes, well, really, I was kind of hoping that you were waiting for, and then she looks over at the women's bathroom. And then she looks back down. And she goes, well, actually, I was hoping that you weren't waiting for anyone. And it was very, and I was so flattered. I told her that I was very flattered, but that I was happily married.
I'm super wet right now, man. You put some slip back in this slide, but I don't go that way. Thank you, though.
The saturation levels are heavy.
There's a crocodile in this mile now. Thank you.
It's a good way to get Senpai's attention, though.
Oh, yeah. The most flattering time I've ever been hit on was by a woman.
Because Josh, were you like, can we go find her?
Yeah, we've looked for her every year since then.
You dress as Sasuke and go to Kakashi. You're trying to... Misconnections on Craigslist, looking for our Naruto.
Naruto girl?
Naruto.
Okay. If you're out there, if you're a listener.
Oh, she is. Yeah, most definitely.
We'll be at Dragon Con again in August.
I think that she's just interested in women, so she may let you watch.
My wife will be there. I will be in the room.
I'd be flattered, too, because female Naruto has never hit on me. Every year I go to Dragon Con, it never happens. I wait around bathrooms, nothing.
Always wait around bathrooms. Somebody's going to hit on me in front of this bathroom.
Excuse me. Yes. I was just hoping you'd fucking move so I can go to the bathroom.
Maybe.
Sorry, ma'am.
Maybe you're looking at it the wrong way. Maybe you should hit on a dude. Like, find a dude waiting at a bathroom, hit on him. And just continue on. Just make him really flattered.
And they'll pass it on. They'll pass it on. Yeah.
Okay.
It's like a weird pay it forward thing.
Yeah. Or I could just buy his food if he's behind me in the drive-thru. I can just do that, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm. You should probably hit on him.
I've only been outwardly hit on like once, and that was when I was a server at Huddle House. Like this girl and her mom were sitting there, and I waited on them. She asked, the girl had to be like 15, 16, and she was like, so how long do you work today? And I told her how long my shift was, and she's like, oh, I'm, you know, just out looking for a boyfriend. And like, I just kind of look at her, and like, oh, really? She's like, could I have your phone number? I was like, I don't think my girlfriend would appreciate that very much. And she said, I was like, but thank you, though. And she said, oh, okay. Did not tip me. I should have rolled with it and given her like time and temperature, because that's what I've done before.
I've never been hit on. Never. Usually it's been like someone has come up to me, and this is outside of elementary school, and been like, hey, she likes you.
No, I don't know. I've never been hit on. Mm-hmm. I have been like just flat out propositioned. While I was at work.
Oh, you've been flat out propositioned in front of me before when I did it to you. No, in front of the strip club. We've told the story.
Yeah, okay, sure. Yeah. Okay.
And that's how you know Josh's dick is big enough.
No, because I worked as a massage therapist for about 3 years. And being a guy massage therapist, I don't have to deal with a lot of the clients that are wanting happy endings. But there was one.
There's always one. Dave.
Yeah. And he didn't so much ask or anything like that. He just started humping the table. So,
all right.
I mean, if that's not a proposition, I don't know what is.
Maybe he just had an itch.
You know, I could turn over and make this a real show. Hump.
Maybe he's just really into that table.
I've actually...
It's true. He could have been hitting on the table, I guess.
I didn't think of something. There was one time that I was most certainly outwardly hit on. And this, actually, Josh, do we have time for me to tell an incredibly...
Yeah.
Interesting story.
Yeah, at least your podcast, bro. You do what you want.
We're going to talk about the list a little bit. It's like we have a game to talk about. So, yeah, tell it.
This ties in with not only being outwardly hit on, but also with Josh, your suggestion to hit on a guy. When I've talked about the Germany trip a few times. On that trip, there was a buyer for another luxury store. This guy owned the store. And he was, so he kind of hung out with us because he was American and we were American. And I have never told this story.
I've never heard this story.
I have never told this story to, I've told this story to one person, and I'll tell you about that at the end. So he's American, we're American. So that essentially means that he stuck with us. And like when we would go to buy, he would come with us. And then when we would eat lunch, break for lunch, he would break with us and then break for dinner. And he was staying at the same place that we were. We got back one night and he said, hey, would you like to come back to my place? To my room, I've got some beer. We can drink some beer, watch some TV. I was like, all right, yeah, okay, that sounds good. Let's, you know, let me just go back to my room, and I'll come up to your room. I go up to his room. I go in. He's at the door. Everything's cool. He gives me a beer. He's got a beer, and I'm like, all right, so cool. I sit down in front of the TV. I start flipping through the channels, and then I hear to my right, I hear, hey, and I look over. And he doesn't have his shirt on anymore. And I just kind of look at him like, hey, man, like in my mind, I'm like, all right. I'm not 100% sure he's hitting on
man,
me.
Man, I want the Herman's head scenario of like all your emotions in your head talking right then.
So I was like, I wasn't like 100% sure that he was hitting. Maybe he was just like relax. This is how he relaxes. So I'm like, hey, yeah, what's up? And I kind of like look back at the TV, like take a drink. I'm like already in my mind, like, okay, if things get weird, what do I need to do to like get out of here diplomatically? And then he goes, hey, why don't you take your shirt off too? I stood up and I said, hey man, you seem like a really cool guy. You might think that I'm gay, but I'm not gay. So, I mean, there's nothing wrong with that, but I'm going to leave. And I left. And then I told one person who was on that trip with me, and I was like, you got to do me a favor and like run screens or something in case this guy like gets really weird or something. And then I was like, and also, don't tell anybody, especially a guy named Tyler Holland. And certainly don't ever let me tell the story of the podcast. I was like, it was a weird mixture of like flattered, but also like really weirded out. It was like a bunch of emotions because it's like
I can't imagine, like, I'm not going to hit on a girl in that manner.
I mean, it was just, well, it was so
you want to do the naked man. You want to do the naked man tactic, but you don't have enough courage. So you just go halfway. You just take off your shirt.
It was weird.
Overt.
It seems weird because it seems like something that a pedophile would do. Well, right?
I was 9. I forget that I've
drinking you beer. You were just a hobo having a beer in somebody's hotel room.
Guys, it seems like something a pedophile would do. Come back with me, watch some TV. Oh, you're going to drink beer. It's cool.
That is like every episode of.
Take your shirt off.
Only because
did you?
Only because you guys. Pretty naive.
Just two bros just drinking beer. We'll watch some Jersey Shore. Take our shirts off.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did he ask to sit on your lap or anything?
No, because I got out. I got out.
You should have stuck with it, dude.
It's like a To Catch a Predator episode.
Yeah. Well, because like as I was leaving, I was like, no, man, I don't think so. He's like, come on, take off your shirt. I'll rub your shoulders. Like,
yeah.
No. Okay.
No. Wait, hold on. Thank you very much, sir, but I need to get back to my room.
As a massage therapist, there's nothing wrong with rubbing somebody's shoulder.
See, I want to go back and watch all the footage of like you interacting with this guy and like Tobias Funke. You have like somehow accidentally.
You think I was leading him on?
Totally inadvertently leading him signals like the whole time.
Like, I
so
mean,
he's like looking at the other room, just kind of nodding, like, okay, well.
Like, well, there was that one time I was like, man, I really like my asshole stretched out. Too bad I don't know anybody who's gay. You think he took that the wrong way?
What do you call this vendor? A blowy? I would very much like a blowy from you. Okay. Oh, shit. Okay. The IGN Top 100 Super Nintendo game.
Hey, look. This is... Look,
you
I
guys,
like-
you guys have earned this. Do whatever the fuck you want. Say whatever the fuck you want.
Because here's the thing. Like, starting the podcast, because this was your idea to do the podcast, Dave, and to do this. Do the IGN Top 100 Super Nintendo game. So then we were like, it's going to take about 2 years to do. Do you think we can do it? God, I don't know. It's a long... I mean, up until we got to like number 10, it felt like it was way down the line. Like we weren't going to do it. So.
It's like we took a loan out together or something. It's like we co-signed.
So I guess we're sort of... Now we're kind of like, oh, what's next? The whole premise of why we did this in the first place... We have fulfilled it.
Yeah, the whole thing could just
Our Faustian pact.
All you have left are dick jokes.
I'm okay
now
with that.
Now we're a strictly dick joke podcast.
I feel like we could probably keep 80% of our listeners just doing that. I mean, we're definitely going to lose the video game people. But
Tad Todd or Tyler and Dave
tell dick.
Play old dicks.
Talk about
Tad
dicks.
Pod.
Well, things didn't work out.
We'll work on it. It's a work in progress. So really playing through this list, it really there's a lot of games that if we hadn't done this, I would have never played. In my whole life I would not have had some very, very good experiences and some awful experiences playing through this list. So overall, I mean, I'm endlessly thankful that you approached me and wanted to do this and we, you know, cuz not only playing games and all of us and telling these stories and getting friends together, I feel like it's made all of our IRL friend group tighter. And also we've met a lot of great people from the podcast that, of course, you know,
don't exist in real life.
That I assume are just completely digital. So like Megalixir, like Joe and Sam, you know, we've actually met them. They're real people. We know that they're real. And Archivist Corn, we know he's real. We've met him.
Yep.
Still don't know if like Fish Lips Jay and Phil Hawkins, we don't know if they're real.
I think Phil Hawkins might actually be my Uncle Ricky, who like wants to support me but like can't openly because of his job or something.
So the list overall, good experience, bad experiences, couldn't be happier with the experience. But overall, like I feel like we've had more mediocre to bad experiences than we have good experiences with this list.
With the games.
With the games, yeah.
Not recording the show.
No, recording the show has been mostly really, really good. Mm-hmm.
But playing the bad games, having the bad experiences, doesn't that make you appreciate more the
I didn't
the good
realize
games?
How rare A good really Super good Nintendo games is? Were. Yeah. Because really, I mean, I'd say out of this list, 20 of them are really good games. And the rest are mediocre to bad to terrible.
I mean, I don't know about terrible.
Sparkster.
Okay, well, maybe Sparkster.
The whole Star Wars series.
Okay. Maybe not terrible. I think very bad.
Broken, maybe?
Sparkster's broken.
Definitely broken.
Oh, man. And then it's
Train
made
levels?
Me train levels.
Sorry.
It's made me really realize, like, I try to get past a lot of my own biases as sort of my foundation as a gamer, how it was established, and in the Super Nintendo with these games. So it has opened my mind to like games like Shadowrun, which I never would have, I'd heard of Shadowrun.
Right, right.
But I'd only heard of it as an RPG, like a tabletop system.
Right.
I've seen you play the Xbox 360 version co-op, and that was
completely different.
That was all I knew about the world. But thanks to the Super Nintendo game, there's this whole world of fiction that I think is fascinating that I would not have had any experience to.
A little cyberpunk.
Yeah.
Thing. Yeah.
Like I had zero knowledge of this whole thing before that. And then like Soul Blazer. So I'd played Illusion of Gaia, but like Soul Blazer, I have it, but I hadn't spent much time on it. That's a game. That's one of my favorite games on this list. I love Soul Blazer. playing through Soul Blazer, I felt like I was playing through one of those like good RPGs like I used to, but I haven't played in a long time. And that was a really good and valuable experience to me to have playing through this list. And then the Bomberman series.
Mm-hmm.
I'd never played a Bomberman game, period, before mm-hmm. 2 and 1 on this list.
So I'm really glad that you played those.
And those are just my iconic experiences that I just missed out on. I'm very happy I have. Nicole threw up. Right?
You okay?
Yeah, I'm okay.
It's still in your lungs, huh?
It is. It's awful.
Because all four of us had a really good time playing Super Bomberman.
Mm-hmm.
But then, yeah, since you didn't agree.
But then my own bias.
I was nodding.
Josh, what's your opinion?
I was nodding, and then I realized the listeners can't see me nodding. So.
Commit to the podcast, Josh, please.
Mm-hmm. But then sports, like still sports games, I still had a hard time enjoying any of those that I didn't grow up with.
Yeah, I'm really glad that we got to play NHL though, because mm-hmm. playing with Jacob and Miller was a lot of fun.
That were my favorite episodes to record. And then all of us together at your house playing it. The overall, that was really, really good. I really enjoyed it.
Playing a lot of these games, multiplayer, that I didn't play multiplayer as a kid, was really fun too. Mm-hmm. Like the fighting games, that was great.
Because you and Zach stayed up all night playing King of Fighters.
I was so tired the next day at work for, playing Fatal Fury 2.
Fatal Fury, King of Fighters. All
night. Same series.
Yeah. And then I guess puzzlers, like, I don't know, it made me feel like good puzzle games are just
Tetris.
Really hard to pretty much. Like so hard to come by.
Tetris or Bust-A-Move.
Bust-A-Move I enjoyed.
One of my favorite puzzle games.
I feel
on
like
the list.
Tetris, Dr. Mario, and Bust-A-Move were the only ones that I enjoyed. Everything else I felt was just bullshit. Especially and it was so hard for me. People love Tetris Attack so much, but man, it was hard for me to get past how atrociously titled that was.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a mistake. I mean, it wasn't a marketing mistake. It was brilliant marketing.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah.
And then I guess racing games. I mean, Rock and Roll Racing was okay.
Rock and Roll Racing was pretty good, yeah.
So
Mario Kart, man.
Other than Mario Kart, I was fine. I went in fine. I already had a solid base to build on for Mario Kart and F-Zero.
I didn't really have a super big problem with the racing games because, like,
I think I see a pattern. Like, Tyler has to have a lot of fantasy element in his racing games.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm not like Ryan. I don't really enjoy the simulation racing.
Yeah.
Like, that's the spectrum that I like to stay away
from. Top Gear 2?
But Top Gear 2, I still think was not that bad of a game. Like, I thought Top Gear 2 was pretty cool, and I would have ranked it higher or better on IGN's list. Mm-hmm. Can I share something? Fun Dave fact.
Mm-hmm. We love Fun Dave
facts. Oh, man. I'm going to lay one on you. I've been holding on to this one for 100 games. Every time we've mentioned a game and it's ranking, I don't know. I don't understand rankings to the point where I should say, oh, this game should be ranked higher. Because like I can't wrap my mind around higher would indicate that it would be better, but higher also be a higher number. Which would mean it's worse.
That's why you should say better or worse, not higher or lower.
I mean, because like every time I say it, I'm like, I don't know if I'm being clear right now. And it's like, and then I'm like, oh, I know I'm not because I don't know what the fuck I'm saying.
Maybe that's a good thing. Maybe just talk in vagues from now on.
Oh, yeah.
Super ambiguous.
Yeah.
Okay, so Nosh, speaking collectively.
Do we have to answer at the same time?
Yeah, preferably. So if you could go ahead and mind meld.
Mm-hmm.
Harmonize it if you can.
Like I remember... hosting each of you like the first time you've been on, how do you feel now nervousness wise and how comfortable you are from when you started to right now?
It's a world of difference.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm much less nervous. I don't have to draw swords anymore.
I still like the first time that I heard that and you said, oh, he's drawing swords, I just imagined that you had a sword in a sheath and you were drawing.
That's how nervous I was, because I do own swords. So I like
oh we know.
I brought the swords, had them I kept unsheathing them.
I think that the biggest difference has been I feel less like I'm broadcasting to some strange internet audience and more to like I'm just talking to like some friends.
Mm-hmm. I feel like I guess it wasn't really the intention of the show at first. We just wanted to talk about the games and then the show gradually like I didn't even mean for us to steer it the way it did, but it kind of became because we're not game journalists. We're not, no. you know, in any way, shape, or form.
No.
So, like, the game...
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
The podcast slowly bending to where I've heard feedback that it feels like friends, because we tell the intro stories, we share who we are and our preferences and things like that. So people feel like they know us, so it feels like it's just you're sitting down with friends and having a conversation.
That's what I like most about podcasting as a medium, is that always, to me, has felt, especially in the beginning, podcasts always felt informal to me, conversational. Mm-hmm. I know recently that's kind of becoming, you know, there's some very well-produced podcasts that are less conversational and more informational, mm-hmm. I guess, like a lot of NPR stuff, of course. But to me, the medium is always best when it's people just talking and having a conversation.
Yeah.
And I really like that. I really like that, Tyler, you've brought that to the show, especially well. I've mentioned this in the past, but like Ultimate Mortal Kombat 3 for me was a turning point in the show where it was just like, oh man, we could have a lot of fun doing this show.
Yeah.
If we can just get over nervousness.
Because, God, the first episode, we were both like, are you nervous? Man. Like, really, really nervous? Yeah, are you nervous? Yeah. Really, we're just talking to each other with two impediments right now because no one's listening to this but, like, Blake and our wives.
Yeah. Yeah, that helped, like, get over a lot of nervousness, like, in the first four episodes or so. And then Exalted Lord Mike of Purdue showed up, and it was like, oh, shit, people we don't know are listening. And it's like, it's this weird mix of, like, oh, that's so awesome, and also, oh, fuck, man, better not screw up.
Yeah, because it's kind of, I love it, but it's become such a different change. Like, there are people all over the U.S. now that... Because what went from Tadpog to then people wanting to do the Tadpog Final Fantasy football to that then becoming basically a group for like the most devoted fans. So now that small pool of like the people who really, really enjoy the show, I talk to every single day.
Yeah.
Like there's I spend at least 45 minutes every day talking to this group of people, and it's awesome. I absolutely like from, you know, like I said, Sam from Megalixir, and then, you know, friends I had before, Paul Kluhl, Phil, like, Lord Mike, like, it's...
Don't forget it's, anybody.
I'm trying.
You're going to really piss some people off.
You're I know sweating. That Drew Rowland. A lot of people. Drew Rowland.
Kyle.
Lord Dennis, who, like, very... He's in there, but it's really rare we see a Dennis comment. And Tony.
Of course.
Jay, Cody have been added now.
Yep.
Now that fantasy football is over, now it's like let's open it up to people who call a whole lot, and then like suddenly people are being added in.
I remember right before I was on to do Uniracers.
Laura, okay, sorry, Josh.
Laura, Josh Edwards.
I remember I asked, I think, I wasn't expecting anybody to have listened to it yet because you had just done one episode before that, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I remember I asked, and I should not have asked right before I was about to record because I was pretty nervous to begin with. I was like, how many people have listened to the other one? And you're like, oh, about 50, I think. And then that just like, that was when it clicked. I'm like, oh shit, people are actually listening to this. Oh man. That's when I got really nervous.
You misheard us. We said 15.
but it's grown a little bit. So, are you okay?
No, I was waiting for you to talk. So you were talking.
So you can hide behind the Nicole. We're just going to name this one the one where Nicole coughed.
I think this is like the third episode you've had that I've just coughed all the way through. At least this time it's like because I was taking shots of
liquor.
It's
not viral.
Right. It's not like I'm ill.
I forgot where I was going with that. Thanks.
Nervous about something about 50 people listening?
Nervous because people listened.
Yeah, and now... Now, what is your most listened to episode? Like, what are you up to now?
2,800 last time I checked, like, and maybe higher than that.
Congratulations.
So, yeah.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you.
I feel like we do okay for non-network, non-celebrities.
Just two old guys.
Non-pretty girls.
Recording in a garage.
We should start a podcasting network with multiple podcasts.
That'd be great. It would be awesome if someone would do, like, if there was, like, There was a woman that we knew, a young woman that we knew with like a really good voice and an excellent personality and an interesting perspective. If she would do a podcast on, like, I don't know, like a list of movies or something, I feel like that would be pretty good.
That's a pretty good idea. So we should probably pass that on to someone who meets all of those qualifications.
The Nardo girl? Or?
Yep.
Please, if you're out there somewhere.
No, yeah, I guess Tadpog listeners, if you are at all interested in listening to me talk about movies for an hour every week or so, just let me know.
Please, and actually, please do, because yeah, I really do think this would be a good show, and I really do think that, I mean, you're probably not going to talk about dicks as much as we do, but even if you don't, I think you would produce a really good show.
I mean, maybe 10% dicks, at least.
10%. Yeah, 10% dicks per minimum. Episode.
Well, and if you ever have any of us on as guest hosts, I'm not saying that you have to, but if you decided, then we can definitely raise the dick and butthole quota.
Okay. You can,
because I won't act, like, sometimes you don't play the game, I won't actually watch the movie. I'll just come and talk about dicks and buttholes.
You can send in your dick pics and you can review them on
the podcast. Yes, Nicole reviews dicks.
Like, special segment of the episode is dick pic of the week.
Now you're onto something. Now you're really...
You just... As accurately possible, like, describe his dick in 20 minutes.
Like in the full ASMR. This penis looks to be about 7.5 inches long. Slightly a tip that goes slightly upward. Not a bad dick, not a great dick.
Color is Pantone 297.
So people have talked about us taking this list and re-ranking our top 10.
Why not just do 100? That feels like a cop out.
Just do the straight 100.
Why don't you do
after
like...
we do all 700 plus Super Nintendo games, then I want to do that. But after we play them all, then make a true 100.
Man, that would be the only way to do that.
Yep.
You're right. But I want you to think about what you said earlier about, like, out of the 100, only 20 of them were pretty good.
Yeah, so we're sort of at the barrel of some absolute garbage.
I do want you guys to consider for a moment how much time you've spent reviewing this top 100 Super Nintendo games.
I wouldn't say we've been reviewing.
Well, playing and musing about commenting your experiences.
What's next? And, I'll put an hour or two into that. Okay, and then, that's fine.
Consider that, and then consider how much the guy writing that fucking article put into it.
I think we put way more into it.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like he just, like, Googled, like, Super Nintendo games.
Yeah, I do not understand.
Until he found 100.
I don't know the criteria at all to make this list.
Well, I mean, it's not like he posted a rubric or anything.
I wish he would have.
Yeah, but stuff like this is always really difficult. And we know that because, I mean, we have definitely gotten feedback from people who really enjoyed games that we didn't. Mm-hmm. So, like, I can only imagine,
John Sullivan and Kirby's Dream Course.
Yeah.
That was probably the most vitriolic of the games that they liked that we didn't like.
And then Tetris Attacks was another controversial one. Uniracers was another one.
Yeah.
Because that, I remember that being like...
We still got a 5-star review out of it.
Yeah.
But he was... Mm-hmm. That reviewer
that
was not happy.
Was not happy with what we thought of Uniracers. So, I mean, experiencing that, like, I understand kind of what this author went through. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't think it excuses, like, the war crimes that he's committed. But, I mean, I get it.
Yeah, I really wish he laid an outline for how it got together. Like, this is evaluating the top 100 based on this and this and this and this and this.
Well, hey, I can lay out how I did my top 10. Mm-hmm. I just picked the games that I liked the best. There you go. That's how I did it. I didn't consider anybody else. I just was like, what games do I like the best?
I did that, games that I liked, plus I tried to put a little bit of universal appeal into it.
Yeah.
That's the only, other than my personal taste, that's the only thing, approachability and appeal.
Yeah, you guys have made it clear these are your opinions, and you've pretty well explained why.
These are our opinions, yeah. And you should have them too.
But, I mean, this guy was writing, he was representing IGN, so you would think he'd have a little more credibility. He would need to explain himself a little more, but But yeah, I mean,
I agree.
I think he probably did had to have it on his boss's desk by 9 a.m. on Monday or something like that.
He was just drunk, so it's, fuck, man. I don't know what, honey. What game did you like? Top Gear 2. Okay.
She did not. She did not. So we're gonna do. We're gonna
take off the Naruto costume and tell me about the games you liked. I don't care how pretty that girl was in the bathroom.
And see, that's how he's different than Josh. He's like Nega Josh. So how you want to give our top 10?
Okay.
Do you want to do it? We just read a straight list and then the next person does it, or do you want to do it the dramatic way and do I do my 10, you do your 10?
I do not my number 10, you do your number 10. I do my number 9, you do your number 9.
Yeah.
Okay.
You wanna do that? Sounds good.
Let's zigzag.
Yeah. Who's gonna go first? Dave should go first.
I'm looking at Tyler's list right now, and it's just Earthbound, Chrono Trigger, Chrono Trigger, Earthbound.
He's not wrong.
Did you copy my list?
Ruin that joke. Thanks for listening, everybody.
I've never seen you so hurt.
We've been friends too long. I'm sorry.
And Josh, Nicole, I see your lists are prepared in front of you. Are you ready?
Uh-huh, yeah.
We'll
just chime in if we agree or disagree.
There we go. I like that.
We will tell you how you're wrong.
Yeah.
And you should rethink your list.
Because there could be some good discussion that comes from this. Mm-hmm. There probably won't be.
Or like Jason wants. Jason just wants us to bitterly argue on the podcast. Just have raucous arguments.
Jason does?
Yes.
Didn't Shake say something about that too? Shake was like that we should argue more often.
Yeah.
So I have a feeling it's probably not going to happen tonight.
That's not how podcasts last 2 years, the arguments.
I did listen to this show that I'm not going to name for a little bit, for a couple months, that I really liked the content of, but the hosts argued all the time. And at first it was exciting. It was interesting to hear like all the different points of view. But then it like degraded into like an internet argument.
Oh god, like just developing a YouTube comments.
Which once again was entertaining for a couple of weeks, and then I like reached a point where I was like, okay, well, I get it.
That's what this show's about. Okay. A modern day honeymooners. I get it. All right.
That's exactly what I thought. All right. My number 10 game that I have is Super Bomberman 2.
I considered making that number my number 10. It was very close.
This as a game that was ranked way worse than it should have been on IGN's list.
This was, I think Phila brought it up in the Facebook group, like this is the most egregiously placed game on the list, that it was 89.
Yeah. Mm. And the fact that I also don't understand why Super Bomberman was ranked better than Super Bomberman.
Top 50.
Too.
Yeah.
I didn't feel like there were enough differences to warrant that wide of a gap.
Mm-hmm.
This is one of those games where playing it with three other people was a new experience for me. Like that was amazing. Having that experience was amazing. And the fact that this game has that capability it makes it wonderful. And that's how I feel about NHL 94 as well, is that out of all the sports games, that's my favorite because of the multi-tap, even though I thought Super Tennis was the best single-player experience.
Yeah, I mean, that is a game that surprised me, Super Tennis. But my number 10, Bomberman 2 is probably number 11 because I had a hard time deciding what these two would be.
You want my number 11?
Yeah.
Earthworm Jim 2.
Now we deviate.
Yeah, no one's going to agree on that one.
Bomberman 2, I think I enjoyed it more than Bomberman 1 because of its strong single player. I love the single player on Super Bomberman 2. That just wasn't there on... the multiplayer was pretty much the same, but...
Right. Yeah.
My number 10 is Final Fantasy 2.
Okay. Why... did you feel like you needed to just include it in the top 10, or...?
Because going back, like, it is, like, the story and the characters... It's so good, but I feel like graphically and sort of like a lot of its elements are tired even by the time it comes around. So I feel like it's a great game.
Yeah.
But like, and I think and for the system, looking at all the games we've played, it should probably be top 10. But like, 10. I felt was appropriate for it.
My number 9, I went back and forth on this, whether it should be this game or if it should be this game's sequel. And I went. That's when I made the decision to just do to just go with what I like as opposed to what I think is better. So once again, this is just my opinion and what I like the best. For number 9, I've got Donkey Kong Country. I thought that Donkey Kong Country was ranked way lower or way worse than it should be. Thanks, Nicole, for giving me that trick when we're done with the list. I'll make sure to save it for the next list we do. Yeah. Donkey Kong Country is always going to stay with me. Like, and once again, it's one of those games where it plays wonderfully single player. Like, this is a great single player experience, mm-hmm. but the co-op is adds a whole nother layer to it. Mm-hmm. And I went back and forth. I do honestly think that Donkey Kong Country 2 is a better made game than Donkey Kong Country, but there is just something about Donkey Kong and Diddy Kong, like just those two characters playing as those two characters. I feel like there's a wider disparity of their abilities. There's a range, while when it's Diddy and Dixie, there isn't as much of a range. And in Donkey Kong Country 3, who the fuck cares?
Yep.
Because baby game.
Yep. Number 9, I had Star Fox.
Man, oh, yes. I almost had Star Fox on my list. In all honesty, that probably would be my 11, not Earthworm Jim 2. Yeah. Why Star Fox?
Again, it's not a game I'm good at, but I enjoyed it. And when we played through it, I really enjoyed watching everything about it. Cause like I said, I'm not good at it. And it's kind of a polarizing experience for the Super Nintendo. There's nothing else like it. And it's good.
I mean, other games tried, like Stunt Race FX.
So yeah. Capitalize on the technology. It was fun. It was entertaining. Absolutely top 10. But I don't think it has as much, like, no, you can't really pick up and play Star Fox. The normal person is going to pick it up and probably love it or immediately, like, get it. So that's why I put it a little bit lower, but it's still top 10.
All right. I'm going to start getting into choppy water. Number 8, I've got The Legend of Zelda, A Link to the Past. Mm. I know a lot of people are going to say that should be like in the top 3. And once again, this comes down to me just not having a real connection with the Zelda games, that series. I had a lot of fun playing that game. I really did. And I think it totally deserves to be in the top 10, like without a doubt. But just if I had played this game when I was a kid, maybe it would be ranked better. But just as a 30-something old dude coming in.
You're not that far into your 30s. All right.
And playing it for the first time, and comparing it to other games, I wanted a little bit more. And Link's Awakening, that's the other like nail in the coffin, yeah. Where it's like, I've played Link's Awakening, and Link's Awakening is so much better paced and has so many more interesting qualities about it. Mm-hmm. And
there's Bow Wow and
yeah, well there's Bow Wow in
Goombas and
two Bow Wows in Turtle Rock, I think it's Turtle Rock or it's either mm-hmm. yeah and I remember seeing them for the first time. I wish I'd have brought it up when we were talking about A Link to the Past, but when I saw them I was like, yes. And Nick was like, what are you excited about? And I was like, Chain Chomps. And I was like, wait, it's Zelda. They're not Chain Chomps. They're Bow Wows.
You can, in Link's Awakening, you can actually like drag one around and have it eat enemies.
Yeah. You know? Oh, see, that is just an example of why that game, that's like one example of why Link's Awakening is better than mm-hmm. Link to the Past.
I totally agree with you. But I mean, I guess it has to stand in its defense that like you're not crazy about the series, but A Link to the Past still makes it on your top 10.
Oh, yeah. No, it's a strong franchise. Yeah. And after playing A Link to the Past, today, honestly, I looked at the full list of Zelda games to see if there was another one that I would play. So who knows? I might play another one.
See, my number 8, like Zelda, much further down the list for me, but still in the top 10, Super Metroid.
Yeah.
Because I mean, I love the Metroidvania type games.
Yeah.
I feel like that genre of game, this is the strongest one on the list. because like Castlevania hadn't developed into that yet. So like this and kind of that horror element, and Metroid was still evolving. And I feel like this was the biggest step into what it would become.
Josh is shaking your head.
No, I was just picturing the, whenever he was talking about, hadn't evolved into that yet. It was just the limp chain whip. You just kind of flip. It's like limp wrist flipping around.
Yeah. Round number seven, I've got Final Fantasy II. I think it belongs in the top 10. Maybe I was giving it second thoughts as you were describing Final Fantasy II. I was like, ooh, maybe I should have flipped it with Link to the Past. But I'm sticking to my guns. Final Fantasy II has wonderful music. Some of the best music, I think, from the series. The music from 3, of course, is better. But the music from 2 is something I can always go back to. Mm-hmm. The story is too linear. And the end is a total cop out.
Yeah, I feel like that is like everybody coming back is still like, man.
If they didn't come back at the end, then I think this would be like a really, really interesting game.
Yeah.
Because like, even though it's still linear, just the fact that everybody, it becomes a theme at that point, right? The theme being that everyone who becomes involved in Cecil and Kane's lives die. Like, that's a powerful fucking, like, theme. Like, all these people, it's about sacrifice, you know? Mm. Like, all these people sacrifice themselves because they think it's the right thing to do to save future generations. And then it's just completely ruined at the end when they're all like, yeah, we're back. Yay. Thanks for saving the world. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah.
It does lose all meaning because, yeah, they willingly sacrifice themselves and then.
It takes the power out of it completely. Yeah. But my number seven game is Yoshi's Island.
I thought baby that might game. Be on your list.
I still love this game. Love this baby game. Its art style, its play, its difficulty. Like,
yeah.
I love everything about this game so much.
It has a baby in it, but it really isn't a baby game because it's a fucking hard game.
Yep.
Deceivingly from the art style.
Yeah. And I feel like now that it's had more games tacked onto it, like, the Yoshi's Island DS completely. It makes me sad that it's lost all that charm I love so much. And it just seems like Yoshi's Island is a beautiful real antique, and all the games after it are Pottery Barn knockoffs. Made they don't have that history and that weight, and it's just made to look like that.
So. That's a Friends episode, right?
Yep. Phoebe hates Pottery Barn. Right.
All right, here's my number six, Earthbound. Thought it belonged in the top 10. I didn't think it would. I mean, before playing the game, I totally thought Earthbound was a baby game. Back to play on that.
They have big heads. Okay.
That game really surprised me. I think it is pretty crazy that it's not in the top 10. Mm-hmm. I would play this game again, and I am actually really looking forward to playing Mother 3 and talking about Mother 3.
Yes.
My only concern is I know it's not going to be as good. I just know it's not because I know it's not translated by the same person.
Yeah.
And like, I feel like that translator on Earthbound made the world a difference.
He's a genius.
Made a world of difference because that game could have been like, if he took it by its art style, that game could have been really juvenile. And not in a charming way that Earthbound is, because it is juvenile, but it's done in a way that's almost nostalgic.
I'm so glad that you liked it as much as you did. Very, 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 very glad.
I was worried that I wasn't, because that is a game that has been hyped over and over and over. Yeah. Not just from you and Josh and like people that I know and interact with day to day, but like game journalists. I mean, this is like Earthbound's one of those games where it's just like everyone seems to love this game. And the first time that I tried it, I didn't. And it took me a little while to appreciate, but I'm glad that I played it because it truly, that game is probably the one on the list that has changed my perspective of RPGs more than any other game.
Mm, awesome. My number six is Super Punch-Out.
I almost put that on my list.
I think It is such a perfect sequel, and there's so much character and difficulty and replayability that I think it's got to be top 10. Got to be top 10. And for me at least, because I loved it. For someone who doesn't like sports games, for me to be so fucking crazy about it, like, I think there's something really special about it.
It's that Nintendo spin.
Fantasy on it.
Yeah, it's that Nintendo spin. Like, they know just the right amount of fantasy to put on sports to, like, please the non-sports fans. And they know just the right amount of sports to put in the game to please, like, your dad, for example.
Yeah.
My number five, I have a feeling that we're probably going to start to get real similar results,
probably.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe not in this one, though. My number five is Super Mario Kart. I've got Super Mario Kart in there because, once again, the multiplayer experience. This is a game that I loved playing with friends. And when John Turley and I played it together, it just brought back all those feelings. And I know it's kind of shitty to be like, I like this game because I have really warm, fuzzy feelings about it in the past. But, I mean, it's true. And I honestly don't think that Mario Kart has done a versus mode as well as they did in Super Mario Kart. Yeah. So,
my number five is A Link to the Past. I don't really have any reasons besides what you said. So, Link to the Past, number five.
Okay. My number four, I have Super Mario World. It's a fucking classic. It's a fucking classic platformer. And I go back and forth time after time. I know we've had calls about it. People have asked us. Super Mario World versus Super Mario Brothers 3.
Why not just Super Mario All-Stars, man?
You know what? God. This is no joke. I was tempted to put Super Mario All-Stars on this list because it was like, it's got all the fucking Mario games. But I had to reel it back because, I mean, Tyler, I think your point is completely accurate that game shouldn't be on the list just because it's not a Super Nintendo game. Mm. It's a collection. Super Mario World, man, is a classic, and I think it is a shame that it is ranked worse than A Link to the Past.
Yeah, I'm with you. My number four is Chrono Trigger.
Oh man, that hurt a little bit. Four, huh? Okay.
Going back to it, like, I agree with everything that you've said about Chrono Trigger. I think it's wonderful and amazing, and the endings and the character, the pacing, the magic system. But when I sit down and look at it, I think I have gotten everything out of Chrono Trigger that I need. I finished Chrono Trigger, and I'm done with Chrono Trigger. So it's like knowing that this game, like, okay, I'm done with this. I don't ever have to play this again. I loved it. I've gotten everything there is to get out of it and set it aside. And then I just don't look back on it as warmly because I don't feel a draw from it anymore.
So it's not because we found out it's Isla, not Ayla?
That's mostly it.
Okay.
I feel betrayed.
It's like Tyler has had his orgasm, and now he's...
Chrono Trigger's crying, weepingly.
Now looking at my dick, he's looking disgusted.
there's a word for it. There's a Japanese word for it. I can't think of the name of it, but it's...
I know what you're talking
you've
about.
You've got that clarity.
Umami? Is that it? Umami?
MSG?
It's that clarity that comes after you have an orgasm. You can, like, finally focus. It's like you get, like, a sage-like mentality because you're not, like, worried about having an orgasm anymore.
But it lasts, like, 5 minutes tops before it... Yeah, I know. I've heard that, too. I know what you're talking about.
So that's where Tyler's state of mind for Chrono Trigger is now.
My number three, I've got Street Fighter II Turbo.
Okay.
Yep. This is an amazing game. It is the best fighter on the platform. It is maybe the best fighter of that decade.
Yeah, I think that's a very fair statement.
And it's a game that I can go back to over and over and over again and play and still play against other people who would straight stop me and have played this game for a very long time. I just love that this game has such a legacy, and it's a game that people still play, and it is like the fighting game that all the other fighting games have kind of compared themselves to since.
Street Fighter II feels like, to me, it's like it's a classic Mustang. And then all the fighting games now are like that car Homer designs in The Simpsons.
Wow, man. That's like a season two? That's it's an early, pretty early season, yeah.
Do you know Tyler was my, or I guess still is, my Street Fighter sensei? I remember.
You haven't heard that. Have you heard this episode?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. There you go.
You talk about it?
Yeah.
Did he tell how he gave me homework to?
No, I don't remember that. I didn't remember that.
Okay. No. Because I wasn't very good. I wasn't very good at Street Fighter.
Right.
So he
We know that.
Okay. So one day he came over after school. He like taught me how to fight with Ryu, and then he stayed for like 2 hours, and then he leaves. And he's like, I want you to practice the rest of the evening. He's like, he gives me homework. He goes, practice this move, and when you get done with this, practice this move until you master it. So yeah, he gave me Street Fighter II Turbo homework.
I think that's hilarious coming from Tyler, who like claims that he can't do special moves in fighting games.
I know they're important. Yeah. I don't want Josh to miss out. Like, I can't do calculus, but I want Kenna to be able to do calculus.
Do as I say, Josh, not as I do. What you got?
That's my turn. My number three is Final Fantasy III/6. Because you're right, it's always been a debate for me between Earthbound and this game, but I have to look about what I talk about more, what I try to get more people into playing, and it's Earthbound, so that makes this right behind it. So Final Fantasy III/6.
Oh, man, Final Fantasy III/6 is the silver medal for you guys, because it was up between you, Dave, for this and Chrono Trigger, and you went with Chrono Trigger.
Well, my number two is Final Fantasy III. Yep, my number two is Final Fantasy III. It is a wonderful game that I can always go back to and play until...
It does sound like you're breaking up with me.
Final Fantasy III, look, man, I love you, but there's this other game. And it lets me do whatever I want. And it also loves me equally. So, Final Fantasy III, fantastic music. It's one of the quintessential Square RPGs. But, yeah, it's my silver medal.
Because I feel like I can also still want to go back and play this game. So, like, I'm not done with it like I am Chrono Trigger. There's still, like I talked about that challenge I still want to do. There's still things I want to do in this game. I'm not done with it yet.
Yeah.
So it has to be higher for me.
Yeah, I guess for my, like, the way I justify it is I feel like, I know, I sound like a broken record because I talk about pacing a lot. It's really important to me in RPGs. But, like, I feel like the pacing of Chrono Trigger is better than the pacing of Final Fantasy III. Even though it does, I mean, and I think the reason the pacing is worse in Final Fantasy III is also the best thing about Final Fantasy III, and that is that the world completely changes.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have to start all over again, which is, I mean, that's really a wonderful thing because it's unique. But at the same time, that's, like I said when we talked about it on the show, that's usually where I stop playing the game. And like, okay, I've got my Final Fantasy III mm-hmm. fix.
My number two is Earthbound. Like, this is where Earthbound, like, if I'm going straight personal preference, it's number one. But
Okay.
Because I want to try and be a little less biased to what I love.
We're not game journalists. Fuck it. Make it your number one. This is our show, man. Do what you want.
No, I'll make it number two because I can understand, like, not everybody can pick up and play it and enjoy it, and it takes time, and it still takes a certain kind of person to, and a person of a certain age to get into Earthbound.
This is interesting because I know, Dave, what your first one's going to be.
I know what Tyler's first one's going to be.
Really?
We can each guess our, you want to guess each other's?
Okay.
My number one is, what do you think, Tyler?
Tiny Toon Adventures.
You Buster motherfucker, Buster. I was going to say that. You motherfucker. Josh stole your joke, so you got to steal mine? I was going to say that exact fucking game. What are you reading ahead?
Don't read the mod. Oh, shit.
Just kiss. Just kiss, guys. Come on.
Well, you guessed mine.
Yeah, you're in this, too.
We have to do this Tadpog triple kiss one and go watch it.
I'll be sharing videos.
Send it to Naruto. See if you like. My number one is Chrono Trigger. Mm. Man, this is a game that I can go back to over and over again and play from start to finish. I definitely haven't got all I can out of it. And it's not because it's a different experience each time I play through it. It's because it's the same experience. It's like, yeah, it is. It's like reading, for example, when I was, I guess, 12 years old, when the Jurassic Park movie came out, I read the fucking Michael Crichton book like fucking 8 times. Like, I would read it, start from the beginning. Like, I'd immediately go from last page to first page. And I read that fucking paperback over and over and over and over again. And every time I read it, I mean, it was the same story, but it was just so enthralling. Mm-hmm. And that's how I feel about Chrono Trigger. That's a game that I can just play over and over again.
Man, there's one book I did that with where I would just read it and then reread it and reread it. Man, it's The Ending in the Cupboard. I love that book much.
Man, that was a great book. I read that one a few times. That whole series was great until I got weirded out with the skinheads. Do you remember when they got involved in it?
Yep.
And it was, I remember it being like, I guess it was like one of those cases where the author was like trying to grow the books with their audience. But I didn't start reading the books when they first started coming out. I started reading them way after. So, like, I just went through so many of them. And then I was like, the first chapter, some kid is outside getting his ass stomped by skinheads. And I was like 10 years old. And I'm like, I closed the book and just got to set it down. I was like, all right, I guess I'm done with that.
I still have the original, my books I got in elementary school. I have all three of them. They're all on Kenna's shelf. So one day I'll hope she reads them, but
you got to read them to her.
But it looks like they're increasing. Like, Ending in the Cupboard is in horrible shape. Return of the Indian, not as worn out.
Yeah,
the third book is fucking pristine. I read that once and was like, this is awful. Put it back. Nope.
What kind of beard would you give the third Ending in the Cupboard book?
A plastic beard that was supposed to turn into a real beard and then didn't, and then you turned into a fake person. Oh man, that book was it was ruined the whole thing. It's awful. I understand, and I also, like, when they made it into a movie, I was so excited because for my birthday, my aunt gave me basically a ticket that was me and one friend could go out to dinner and a movie on her. She would take us out. That was whenever I wanted to use it. So I waited.
Wait, it was like a coupon book, like a handwritten coupon book.
It was just like a slip of paper,
free
back
rub, free dinner and a movie with a friend.
One face.
So I remember, like, in the cover the day it came out. That's what I went, and we went out to Fazoli's and then went to see In the Cupboard.
I've never seen the movie.
I was so disappointed.
It's really bad.
Awful. The actor who plays Omri is just like, he must have sold his soul or something, or his parents did, to get him in this movie, because he's awful. He is one of the worst child actors I have ever seen in my life. And Omri was a character who meant a lot to me. And, like, this kid is just so terrible. And, like, there's this moment, I remember the look on the kid's face, like, where he's looking at Little Bear and Little Bear's looking at him.
Man, you were bringing back so many. You are giving me so many feels right now, because, like, these are names that I've long forgotten. I have long forgotten. They're, like, covered in dust in the attic in my mind. And, like, you're just pulling them out and showing them to just dust them off. Look, you remember Little Bear? Holy shit, I do remember Little Bear.
You remember Boone? Boone and Little Bear?
Oh, shit.
And, like, it's supposed to be a moment, because, like, then they're friends. They've overcome everything. But, like, the actor, clearly, like, the kid does not know how to look at an inanimate object with any sort of feeling or emotion. So he just, it's such a, I remember just seeing that and I just start, like, laughing out loud in the theater. And just, like, my friend that I went with, we were just, like, both of us just checked out at that moment.
Yeah.
That we were done.
Did you make out?
Nope. My aunt sat in the middle of us, so he wouldn't do it. We kept, like, trying to lean over her, and she'd push us back.
I was hoping you had an awesome, like, we made out during the Indian Covered story.
Well, I explored my sexuality during the Indian Covered.
You're like, hey, you want to see my little bear?
This is what he's been in since.
Oh, man. We're digging up some dirt.
Only one other movie after that.
What was it?
Marvin's Room. I mean, Leonardo DiCaprio's in it. Man, yeah, that
he's
fucking
in something
kid.
Called The Show.
Oh, The Show. Yeah, doesn't even have a picture.
Yeah,
that he was in that this year. So, man, I don't know who you are, guy, but fuck you.
Hey, man, he might be a listener. He might be our next.
He can stop listening for that performance. This is not for you. Turn this off.
Wow, that's a rare statement.
Here's your money back, kid who played Omri. You give me my money back, I'll give you your money back for Tadpog.
Man, I feel like I was going to say something, but I got like so just enraptured with the idea of the cover. Oh, yeah. We're running along. Who gives a shit? Did you ever read any of the Chronicles of Narnia?
Meg did, but I have not.
I'm surprised. Them, yeah. Yeah, you have, mm-hmm. Nicole? I'm surprised because, like, to me, that I always I like those books, but I have a little disdain for them because my grandmother knew that I was into fantasy, and she gave me several of the Chronicles of Narnia books, and I read them, and I was like, yeah, it's pretty good. And then she was like, let me tell you how this is about Jesus. And I was like, you fucking tricked me.
God. Yeah, I, because I hadn't read, I read Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe.
Yeah.
Pretty early on. And then I didn't touch the others until I heard the movie was coming out. This was, I don't, like early 2000s.
Yeah,
sometime.
Something like that.
And then, so I picked, I'm like, hey, yeah, I remember really liking that. So I got them all, read them. And yeah, by like the third one, I was just checked out, but I was so invested in them already at this point that I trudged through. And yeah, it was, it's just, it's almost like he adds that all in after an after as an afterthought, which I haven't like researched the books or anything. Yeah. I don't really know what his goal was. I know he converted Tolkien to Christianity, I think.
Yeah, because I've read they were really good friends.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know they were really good friends. I just couldn't remember if it was that or if it was the other way around. Because I thought that...
Oh, I may have gotten it backwards.
No, I may have it backwards. Yeah. It's a show about video games. Yeah. If we're wrong, just fucking deal with it.
But yeah, I'm already checked out by like the third book, but it just keeps going on. And spoilers, I guess. They all fucking die. They all die at the end.
Yeah.
Not even at the end. They
right,
all die
in the beginning.
At the beginning of the last book. Oh, you were in heaven the whole time. Oh, look, I'm Jesus. And he like, I think he literally transforms into Jesus for, like or in front of it. Yeah.
Nicole, did you read all of them?
Mm-hmm.
You read
it's
all
been a while.
Of them.
Yeah.
How did you feel?
I mean, it's good, and he's a good author.
Yeah.
But...
C.S. Lewis. We just keep saying he.
Yeah.
C.S. Lewis. Yeah, C.S. Lewis.
We know. We know. The listener knows we know. We know that some Christian thing happened with him, whether he did it to someone else, we don't know. But
I was just going to do the pronoun game. Just capital he.
I mean, you mentioned that he and Tolkien were really good friends, but are we assuming that everybody knows that that's how the Chronicles of Narnia and... Lord of the Rings came about.
It was a contest.
There was a contest.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, it was a contest between the two of them to see who could write the best like fantasy epic.
Kind of like Frankenstein, how Frankenstein came about.
I didn't know that.
Because it was a similar contest.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Was it with Shelley and her husband, right? Trying to write. Who knows what the fuck he wrote?
Yeah.
You don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, because they had this like cabin retreat or something they would go to annually. And
man, what a boring couple. Like, we're going to go off for a romantic week in the woods. I challenge you to a book writing contest. get off my penis. Write your book.
Man, I wish I just get some fucking face. Instead, I got to write about some goddamn ghoul who fucking pieces corpses together.
Here's a man made of all different parts, and he's more of a man than you'll ever fucking be.
The editor took out the 40 pages describing Frankenstein's monster's cock.
We've reduced Mary Shelley's Frankenstein to a reflection of her marriage.
My number one game is Super Mario World, by the way.
I knew it was. Only because I've been paying attention to the most recent podcasts.
Oh, shit. That's our top 10.
Much better than Tyler and Dave fail at math.
Yeah.
Like, unless something really, really bad happens.
Well, we
right
named
now.
10 games. So we didn't like right. name yeah. 9 games or 11 games.
Oh, wait. Let's have a small, confusing argument amongst ourselves about the number of games that we talked about. That episode is so bad.
Josh.
Yeah.
What's your number one Super Nintendo game?
I'm not even going to commit to this. How dare you even ask me? This is why.
How dare you, madam?
Write a book.
We both silently agreed not to make a list.
Not to make a list.
Silently agreed. Are we going to the Tadpog tonight? Yes. Head nod.
We both knew. We had that moment.
It was in your wedding vows, wasn't it?
Yeah. I don't know. It depends what kind of mood I'm in.
Okay.
What about you, Nicole? You played like 4 of them.
Yeah, out of the ones that I played, I would definitely pick Chrono Trigger.
Yeah. Up top. Chrono 5. That's right. Josh can't form a unified front with Tyler.
I like Earthbound, Josh.
I can beat Super Mario World in like 20 minutes.
Shit, that's pretty nothing, good. Man. 6 minutes. Not me. No. I can beat it in like 4 hours.
God, those fucking speedruns. Have you seen the Ocarina of Time speedrun?
Mm-mm.
Yeah, they just like back jump through the whole fucking game and just exploit all kinds of glitches. Mm.
Yeah, I've seen where you can exploit like a glitch in like a spider web in the great Deku Tree. Mm-hmm. Deku Tree.
I don't know.
The great Dickin' U Tree.
That was the next Zelda game I was thinking about playing.
Remember when Kid Zelda went the great Dickin' U Tree?
Oh, little bear, we're in trouble now.
Oh, man. It's pretty good time.
Yeah, it's pretty good. It's all I got. Welcome to the maybe 2 hour long podcast.
Yeah, we can take some calls still. Fuck it.
Now.
Okay.
Now, please.
You guys have anything else to add? Anything? Thanks for being two of the biggest contributors of this podcast.
Thank you for having us.
Over the
years. Absolutely.
It's been fun.
Even though I kind of had to shove my foot in the door to get on, and the first few I had to invite myself. First few episodes I was on, but...
It's not like John Turley, who just shows up when we record. And is now I've lost count. I don't know if it's either you or him who has the most episodes. And Nicole, you're three behind.
I just can't catch up. What's
That's
the deal?
Fine. I'll share my throne with John Turley.
I thought you were going to say me.
No, you got
John is Burger Bottom.
John, here, wear this Naruto costume. You know, we're talking like this is the end of the show, like the end of the podcast.
Mm-hmm. It's the end of the first chapter.
Which makes me realize
that's good.
That we haven't really talked about what we're going to do next.
No, we don't really know. I guess our stopgap is going to be our eventually list.
I think that's an excellent stopgap. Mm-hmm. Jacob York of Wolf Fighting fame mentioned it, and I think it's a good idea. In the meantime, we can kind of whittle away at that list. But, I mean, you had mentioned in the past that we haven't played a lot of N64 games.
64 games.
Nicole really wants us to do.
I do. Yeah. I really, really
Will you
want
commit
to?
All 25 of Dorkly's top 25 Super Nintendo
games. Yeah, there we go.
Games.
Will you commit to that?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
That puts you way over the top as number one contributor.
I mean, all right, sweet. Then if that's the case, if you commit to that, then I say let's do the N64 games next. I'm also really interested in Dreamcast games because I don't know. There's a lot of people talking about Dreamcast games.
I had a 64. I don't know if I had 25 games for it.
I had 25 games. I probably didn't play all 25 of them, but I had 25 games.
I know I had Ocarina of Time and Wave Race.
Wave Race 64.
Here's my biggest concern about 64 games and really any games after SNES is I feel like... Those games are going to be a much bigger time investment.
It's going to be hard to do it in a week, yeah.
So that's my big concern about any other list that's not of the same era. Like Game Boy games, I feel like would be, okay, yeah, we could do that. NES games, I feel like we could do that, but there's two dudes in NES who specifically talk about NES games.
And Genesis, we've you know, batted around before as a possibility.
Yeah, because I missed out on a lot of Genesis games because I never owned one. And I know there's a lot of good ones out there, and we've actually had listeners, you know, ask us to do Genesis games. So,
and I feel like PlayStation 1 era would just be, I feel like that would be hard to do.
To be fair about the Genesis, a lot of the Genesis, good Genesis games were also good Super Nintendo games.
Yeah, there would be, we'd have to deal with that crossover, right? Like, what do we do when we talk about a game that's like Ultimate Mortal Kombat 3 or something like that?
I would say like just a 10-minute segment of like, okay, numbers, like a top 100 Genesis games. Number 6 is a crossover game. Here are the differences.
And then we just talk about
better or worse.
Talk about our dicks for the rest of the show.
Talk about our dicks for the show.
Just Jurassic Park, just play as the raptor and then you're done.
Man, that's got to be the number one game, right? It has to be the number one game on Genesis. And it's just like in the description, it's like, okay, number one game, Jurassic Park. And then there's a screenshot of the game. And then right below, it's just all caps, play as the raptor. 5 exclamation points.
So I guess, listener, if you have any ideas, you know, you hear where we're leaning. If you have any ideas, you know, I'll make this post on Facebook, comment there, do a 5-star review, put it, you know, tweet at us, whatever you want to do.
Yeah.
If you agree with Nicole, put that up there. Tweet at Nicole, say hashtag Team Nicole, N64 right. Games.
I'm for that. I'm for opening it up and seeing what people want to hear us talk about.
Can we do Team Dark Dickinson instead of Team Nicole?
Yes. Team Darkness Emily Dickinson.
So what are you going to name your new movie podcast? Do you know yet?
I think she just did. A Night to the Cinema with Doc Dickinson.
Were you talking like character voice?
Of course.
Awesome. Okay.
what's your character voice? This.
Yeah, you know.
But they all sound like questions. Thanks for listening, everybody. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, and at some point SoundCloud.
By the time you listen to this, we will be on SoundCloud.
Yeah, you're right. It'll be in February, so some episodes will be.
So go to SoundCloud, please, and at least like play them a few times. Maybe there's little hearts. Click on the hearts. Mm-hmm. That means you love us.
You know what we still love?
What's that, Tyler?
5-star iTunes reviews.
Now, wait a minute. We got 101.
Got 101.
100.
No, we have 101. We're over quota, Tyler.
We have 100 5-star reviews and 1 3-star review.
Right. We also have 1 5-star review from Canada, and we now have a 1 5-star review from the UK.
Fucking A. Yep. All right.
I haven't checked any of the other countries.
Ashley Shake, where's our 5-star?
I haven't checked Japan. I need to. Just to, before we put them on blast, I need to do some homework.
Before we put the country of Japan on blast.
So, Tadpog Nation, you travel overseas for vacation, write a 5-star review somewhere. get a hotel, write a 5-star review.
So really, I mean, the more of those we get, the more we pop up in iTunes, the more listeners we get, the more we grow, the better everything gets. So it helps us a whole lot. Mm-hmm. And we try to give you some power over the show by you helping us. We give you more of what you want. So if there's a game you want us to play, or a person that you want to guest host on the show, or if you have very strong feelings about what list we do next or where we go next with the show, throw that up there too. We very much appreciate it, and we're going to be doing the eventually list as a stopgap, so eventually will come sooner than later, but whatever you put in that 5-star review, we're going to be getting to it eventually.
And not only is it a stopgap, I almost feel like it's a necessity at this point.
Yeah, there's because, a lot
like,
on there.
We have to do a little house cleaning, because like right now, like
we're hoarders at this point.
Exactly. It's like we just have stacks of yellowed newspaper, and it's just like little dusty Indians in the cupboard just everywhere. I mean, it's fucking crazy. We have to do some of the eventually list. Don't worry, guys. Like Tyler said, we're going to be back. We're going to be talking about fucking something. In the meantime.
And games.
Yeah. it's just going to be weird, like sweat slapping sounds. It's going to be a game. It's going to be a game show.
We're going to fuck something and muse about our experiences.
But the four of us again, and we're each going to fuck 5 different things during the course of the week, and we'll come back and talk about those 5.
Man, we need a new disclaimer.
Nicole's list is way better than ours.
In the meantime, you can always find us at tadpog.com. That's where the show notes live. You can find us on Facebook. We're at facebook.com/tadpog. There are a lot of cool people there doing a lot of cool shit. Tyler will normally make an episode post. This is an excellent opportunity for you to tell us what the fuck you want us to talk about, because we're open to suggestion at this point. I feel like we've got some good ideas, but we're willing to cater to our audience, I think. I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
We love you guys. You can find us on Twitter. We are at @tadpog_podcast. It's cumbersome, I realize. Thank you for everybody who is retweeting, especially our episode posts. And thank you for the new followers that we've got. We've gotten some new followers. Really appreciate that. And actually really appreciate just the interaction. So we really do appreciate that. If you want to call us, you can. Normally we would take calls, but I'm a, you know, big P word tonight and don't want to do them. So, I mean,
a just, real cunt goblin.
Yes. Much, much better. so call us. 270-883-2555. Leave us a voicemail. Keep it under 3 minutes if possible. We love video game questions. We love questions in general. Questions about the world. Ask us an Indian in the cupboard question. Why don't you? I don't know. our intro song, Josh?
Moves by Sycamore Drive.
A link to that track can be found where, Nicole?
In the show notes on tadpog.com.
Nailed it. Yeah. Did I forget something? You're kind of looking at me like, I forgot. Okay, great.
I don't think so.
just adoration.
Gonna... I just didn't know. You were looking at me, so I was like, you're asking me.
You're not going to do the...
What? I forgot something?
Yeah.
What'd I forget?
You know.
The thing.
The thing? With what? With the other thing?
Thing we all do.
Oh. Yeah, how do you want to close the show? I have a suggestion.
Okay.
So I shouldn't have even asked. Guys, here's how I want to close the show. I would like to close the show with Steve Urkel.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Or Josh could just do it.
That man, that was one guaranteed way to make my grandmother laugh, was whenever I do a Steve Urkel impression.
Were you?
She would like laugh and then curse.
Were you? Because she was
damn Urkel.
Were you wearing any, like, I don't know, special effects?
No,
prosthesis.
You lean back a little bit, you bend your knees.
Yeah,
and then you act like you have suspenders on.
Yeah, well, that's pretty good. You really got into it. Yeah. You owned it.
I didn't have blackface on or anything.
Right. I mean, come on. You're not.
Hold on, really? Nanny. I'm gonna get some shoe polish. Yeah,
you're not fucking incredibly racist.
So until next time.
I won't contribute to this.
Come on. You have to. Nope. Please.
Nicole's going to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Fine.
So until next time. Tropical Capricorn!
You two motherfuckers.
That was good.
May the ghost of Steve Urkel haunt you both. And Urkel on both your houses.
Have any of you guys ever had cum inside your mouth?
Not on purpose.